Hello ghosts and ghouls, and welcome to the 2021 Christmas special of Danica Raven's Bite Size Horror. Today I'll be reading from Krampus and Other Yuletide Tales by Fena Laura. She's given us permission to read a couple of her stories, so I'm going to start with the Christmas Eve Vigil. If you're sitting comfortably, then we shall begin. Many years ago, there lived a clergyman of singularly reserved and studious habits, who from noon till night pored over dusty black letter folios. Although he was by no means forgetful of the few duties which pertained to his sacred office, he never failed to attend to the wants of those in his parishioners. The length of his time was devoted to his mysterious looking volumes, his habit of talking to himself, and late at night, with head bent down, passing along the village street and vanishing into the darkness of a lonely lane, gave rise to cruel rumours that he was a professor of the black arts. And it was even whispered that his night walks were pilgrimage to unholy scenes of satanic revelry. Had the unconscious clergyman lived more in the everyday world around him and less that of the black letter books, he would not have failed to perceive the averted looks with which his parishioners acknowledged his greetings. Ignorant alike of the absurd rumours, and unobservant of the change which had come over his flock, or at least acting as though unaware of them, the clergyman continued to perform the duties of his sacred office, and to fly from them to his beloved volumes, growing more and more reserved in his habits, and visibly paling under his close application. After matters had gone on in this way for some time, the villagers were surprised to see a friendship spring up and ripen between their pastor and an old resident in the village of almost equally strange habits. Abraham was a herb doctor whose knowledge of out-of-the-way plants, which possessed mysterious medicinal virtues, and of still more wonderful charms and spells, was the theme of conversation by every farmhouse fireside for miles around. At that day, and in that locality, the possession of a few books sufficed to make a man a wonder to his neighbours, and Abraham had a little shelf full of volumes upon his favourite subjects of botany and astrology. However early the villagers might be astir, as they passed along the lanes on their way to their labour in the fields, they were certain to find Abraham searching by the hedgerows or in the plantations for herbs. At night, the belated villagers returning from their labours were equally certain to find Abraham gazing at the heavens. Addicted to such nocturnal studies, it was not likely that the old herb doctor and the pale clergyman would remain unknown to each other. The acquaintance, however, owing to the reserved habits of both, began in a somewhat singular manner. Returning from a long and late walk about midnight, the minister was still some distance from his abode when he heard a clear voice say, "Now is the time, if I can find any. Jupiter is angular, the moon's applied to him, and his aspect is good." The night was somewhat cloudy, the stars being visible only at intervals, and it was not until the clergyman had advanced a little way that he was able to perceive the person who had spoken. He saw that it was the old herbalist, and immediately accosted him. An animated conversation flowed, Abraham expanding on the virtues of plants that he'd been gathering under the dominion of the respective planets, and astonishing the pale minister by the extent of his information. In his turn, the old man was delighted to find in the clergyman a fellow enthusiast in the forbidden ways of science. And as the minister was no less charmed to discover in the herb doctor a scholar who could sympathise with him and understanding his yearnings after the invisible. Late as was the hour, the pair adjourned to Abraham's cottage. From that time, the pair became intimate friends. The clergyman, yielding, with all the ardour of youth, to the attraction which drew him towards the learned old man, and Abraham, gradually growing to love the pale-faced scientist, whose thirst after knowledge was as intense as his own. Seldom a day passed on which one of them might not have been observed on his way to the abode of the other, and often at night the pair walked together, their earnest voices disturbing the slumbering echoes, as at unholy hours they passed up the hill and through the old churchyard, with its moss-covered stones and its rank vegetation. Upon one of these occasions, they had talked about supernatural appearances, and as they were coming through the somewhat neglected God's Acre, the clergyman said he had read in an old volume that to anyone who dared, after the performance of certain ghastly ceremonies, wait in the church porch on Christmas Eve, the features of those who were to die during the following year would be revealed, and that he intended upon that night, before the coming festival, to try the spell. The old man at once expressed a wish to take part in the trial, and before the two parted, it was agreed that both should go through the preliminary charms and keep the vigil. In due time, the winter came, with its sweet anodyne of snow, and as Christmas approached, everything was got in readiness. Soon after sunset on Christmas Eve, the old herb doctor wended his way to the dwelling of his friend, taking with him St. John's wort, mountain ash, bay leaves, and holly. The enthusiasts passed the evening in conversation upon the mysterious qualities of graveyard plants, but shortly after the clock struck 11, they arose and began to prepare for the vigil. By taking precautions against the inclemency of the weather, for the night was very cold, large flakes of snow falling silently and thickly upon the frozen ground. When both were ready, the old man stepped to the door to see that the road was clear, for in order to go through the forum of incantation, a small fire was requisite, and as they were about to convey it in a can, they were anxious that the strange proceeding should not be noticed by the villagers, as the two men, after carefully closing the door behind them, stepped into the road. A distant singer trolled forth a seasonable old hymn. This was the only noise, however, the village streets being deserted. They reached the churchyard without having been observed, and at once made their way around the sacred building so as not to be exposed to the view of any chance revellers returning to his home. Without any words, they entered the porch and at once made a circle around them with leaves of vervain, bay and holly. The old man gave to his companion a branch of a wigan tree and firmly held the other little bough, as with his disengaged hand he scattered a powder upon the embers. A faint odour floated around them as they chanted a singular Latin prayer, and no sooner was the last word uttered than a strain of sweet, sad music, too inexpressibly soft and mournful to be of this earth, was heard. Every moment it seemed to be dying away in a delicious cadence, but again and again was the weird melody taken up by the invisible singers as the listeners sank to their knees, spellbound. An icy breath of wind hissed around the porch, however, and called the entranced men to their senses, and suddenly the clergyman grasped the arm of his aged companion and cried in a terrified voice, "Abraham, the spell worked! Behold!" The old man gazed in the direction pointed out, and to his inexpressible horror, saw a procession wending its way towards the porch. It consisted of a stream of figures wrapped up in grave clothes, gleaming white in the dim light. With solemn and noiseless steps, the ghastly objects approached the circle in which stood the venturesome men, and as they drew nearer, the faces of the first two could be seen distinctly, for the blazing powder cast a lurid glow upon them and made them even more ghastly. Both spectators had almost unconsciously recognised the features of several of the villagers when they were aroused from their lethargy of terror by the appearance of one face, which seemed to linger longer than its predecessors had done. Abraham at once saw that the likeness was that of the man by his side, and the clergyman sank to the ground in a swoon. For some time, the old man was too much affected by the lingering face to think of restoring the unconscious man at his feet. But at length, the clash of the bells over his head as they rang forth a Christmas greeting called him to himself, and he bent over the prostrate form of his friend. The minister soon recovered, but as he was too weak to walk, the old man ran to the belfry to beg the ringers to come to his assistance. When these men came around to the porch, the fire was still burning, the flickering flames of various colours casting dancing shadows upon the walls. Bearing the clergyman in their arms, the men walked through the village, but they did not separate until Abraham confided to them the secret of the vigil. Abraham's companion soon recovered from the shock, but not before the story of the night watch had gone round the village. Many were the appeals made to the old herbalist to reveal his strangely acquired knowledge, but Abraham remained sternly obdurate. The clergyman, however, was in a more awkward position, and his parishioners soon made him aware how unwise he had been in giving way to the desire to pry into futurity. Ultimately, Abraham's companion went away, in the hope of returning when the memory of the watch should have become less keen. But before a few months had passed away, news came of his death, after a violent attack of fever caught during a visit to a wretched hovel in the fishing village where he was staying. By the next December, all the people whose features the old herbalist had recognised during the procession had been carried to the churchyard. But although several men offered to accompany Abraham to the porch on the forthcoming Christmas Eve, he dared not again go through the spells and undergo the terrors of a church porch vigil. That was The Christmas Vigil by Fena Laura. And here's a reminder that although ghosts are traditional at Christmas time, there's no need to invite them into your home. Thanks for listening.